This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
This is Adam Everson reporting for the Jodcast, and I'm here with Chris Benn, the head of astronomy for the ING. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Adam.
Would you care to tell us a bit about what goes on at the ING?
Yeah, the ING is the Isaac Newton Group, which is a strange name. It sounds like a bank. It's actually an observatory. And we have a 4-metre telescope and a 2.5-metre. And a 1 meter at the peak of the island of La Palma in the Canary Islands. It's a very beautiful island, and it has fantastic observing conditions. It's very dark skies at night, because not many people live on the island. And the what we call the seeing, the turbulence of the atmosphere, which disrupts our view of the stars, it's very good on La Palma. It's a very good quality skies. In fact, the skies on La Palma are almost as good, sometimes better than those in Chile and in Hawaii, where the other major observatories are. So it's a very, very good site. And we have these three telescopes, and it's run as a UK, Dutch, Spanish collaboration. So each of these countries send their astronomers out to observe, and they each contribute a fraction of the financial cost of the observatory.
Could you tell us a bit about the current big projects that are going on at the telescopes at the moment?
Well, actually, one of the special things about La Palma is that most of the projects are fairly small, because we cater for a very broad community of observers. So typically, on the 4-metre telescope, which is the William Herschel telescope, astronomers come out for 2 or 3 days at a time. They have 2 or 3 nights allocated on the telescope. And they may come out in teams of 1, 2 or 3 people. They stay there for those nights. And in those few nights at a 4-metre telescope, it's enough to do a major observing project. For example, one recent highlight from the WHT is the observation of a planet beyond the Earth, an exoplanet, and passing behind its host star. So this is what we call a secondary transit of a planet, where instead of the planet going in front of the star and reducing the light, it goes behind the star, and then there's a very small dip in the light output because the star is hiding the planet. And this means that, in effect, you've detected the near-infrared photons from the planet. And this is a very exciting step, because as soon as you can actually detect photons from an exoplanet, it means you can start doing spectroscopy of the atmosphere of the planet and discover what kind of things are in the planet's atmosphere.
So during your talk on Monday, you mentioned that coming to observatories soon is the HARPS. Is it NEF, New Earth Frontiers?
Yeah, it's called HARPS NEF. NEF stands for New Earth's Facility. I forget what HARPS stands for. H is for Harvard, because it's built by Harvard. It's an upgraded copy of a very powerful spectrograph which currently exists in the southern hemisphere on one of the telescopes in Chile. And the aim of this spectrograph is to measure radial velocities of objects with very high precision. The idea being to see the effect of Earth-sized planets orbiting distant stars, because when the planet orbits the star, it causes a slight wobble in the velocity of that star. So the aim of this spectrograph is to be able to detect these very small planets, Earth-sized planets around stars. And this particular project is complementing the recent launch of a spacecraft called Kepler. And what Kepler will do is to find stars which have occasional eclipses in the light curves when a planet passes in front of the star. So there's a very small dip in the light curve of the planet. And then those candidate stars for exoplanets can be examined with this very high-resolution spectrograph to confirm that there really are planets going around stars. And the goal is to find planets which are around Earth-sized. So this is a very exciting development of the WHT. It's a completely new spectrograph.
Will these exoplanets be at close distances to their parent stars, or in the so-called habitable zone, where the Earth is in our solar system?
Yes, I should have said that's the main goal, to find an Earth-sized planet, not only orbiting at any distance around a star, but one that's actually in the habitable zone. In other words, the zone around a star where the temperature is suitable for liquid water to exist. And liquid water is presumed to be a requisite for life on any planet.
Are there any further developments at the telescopes on La Palma?
Well, one recent development on the William Herschel telescope is that we've built a laser guide star for the adaptive optics system. A laser guide star is an artificial star created by shining a very powerful laser into the sky. And the idea behind this is to provide a reference for our adaptive optic system. And the adaptive optic system is something which is designed to take out the twinkling of stars, basically. When you look at the star through the atmosphere, it's a bit like looking down at the bottom of a swimming pool through the surface of the water. And the bottom of the pool is blurred by the rippling of the water. And something similar happens with stars. And that limits our ability to detect very faint stars because they're kind of smeared out by the atmosphere. This is what we call seeing. One way of taking this out is with a technique called adaptive optics, whereby we put in the light path of the inside the telescope, we put a deformable mirror which changes shape up to around 100 times a second in order to counteract this blurring caused by the atmosphere. And to do that, we need a reference star to tell us what the wavefront is doing at any particular moment. Although there are a few bright stars around the sky, which are naturally bright enough to do this, for most objects on the sky, like 99% of the sky, you need to put your own artificial star. And this is why we built a laser guide star. And this was commissioned last year, and it's now in regular use at the telescope. So this is a major instrumental development, and it means that we can do adaptive optics pretty much anywhere on the northern sky at the William Herschel Telescope.
Well, lots of exciting science to be coming out of the William Herschel Telescope in the coming years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Adam.